All right, everybody, welcome back to AI Unchained. We've got a packed one today because, Core, I'm not exaggerating. This week, the AI world dropped three major headlines, and they're all connected.
You say that every week.
No, wait, seriously. This time, the connective tissue is real. We've got a blockbuster AI chip company IPO, venture capitalists accidentally making billions, and some very uncomfortable security news around Apple's newest silicon. It's like AI progress meets maybe slow down a second.
That's a generous framing. I'd call it AI hype meets real-world consequences. Because while everyone's celebrating giant IPO exits, we also just saw the first public Mac OS kernel memory corruption exploit on Apple's brand new M5 architecture. So the flip side of all this AI infrastructure scaling is a much bigger attack surface.
Hold on, though. Let's start with the upside. The big story today, Cerebras. Their IPO just minted billions for Benchmark, and apparently the partner who backed the company almost didn't even take the meeting.
Which is such a perfect Silicon Valley story. Almost skipped the meeting, accidentally funds one of the most important AI hardware companies. That's either incredible intuition or pure luck.
I'm bullish on what this represents, though, because this isn't just a lucky VC story. This could be huge for the entire AI compute ecosystem. Cerebras built that giant wafer-scale chip, basically the biggest processor ever. And now the public markets are rewarding companies building AI infrastructure.
Or public markets are rewarding the narrative of AI infrastructure. Let's pump the brakes before we declare a new NVIDIA. Hardware IPOs tied to hype cycles have a very mixed history.
Sure, but look at the pattern here. Remember April 18th? We talked about the NIST CVE backlog and said, watch this space. Then April 24th, we talked about Tencent's ultra-efficient AI model. And May 1st, we discussed that weird moment where Elon said xAI used OpenAI outputs for training.
Yeah, and you turned all three into the same prediction, bigger, faster AI compute arms race.
Exactly. And now Cerebras going public is basically validation. Capital is pouring into the companies building the engines of AI.
Or it's the top of the cycle. That's also a possibility.
Wait. You think we're at the top of the AI infrastructure boom already?
I'm saying when VCs tell stories like, I almost didn't take the meeting and now it's worth billions, that's usually the moment everyone else starts chasing the trade.
I completely disagree. Here's why this matters. We're still early. Models are getting bigger. Inference demand is exploding. And the world needs more compute. Companies like Cerebras are building entirely new architectures to handle it.
And the flip side is the tech stack is still unstable, which brings us to the other tension today, security. Because the same hardware acceleration pushing AI forward could also expose deeper vulnerabilities.
Okay, that's fair. We will definitely get into the Apple M5 exploit later because that one is spicy.
Spicy is one word. Potentially terrifying is another.
But first, we're diving into the Cerebras story. How a meeting that almost didn't happen turned into one of the biggest AI infrastructure wins in venture capital.
And whether that's visionary investing or just really good timing.
Either way, the AI revolution keeps moving.
The question is, are we building the future or another bubble?
All right, let's get into it. So here's a wild venture story. Cerebras just IPO'd and Benchmark basically minted billions. They owned about 17.6 million shares, roughly 9.5% of the company. And at the IPO opening price of $185, that stake was worth about $3.3 billion. And if the first day trading above $300 holds, you're talking over $5 billion. That is venture capital nirvana.
Hold on, though. Every IPO story sounds amazing on day one. We've seen this movie. Day one pop, venture funds celebrate, then reality shows up 6 months later.
Sure, but the backstory here is classic Silicon Valley. Eric Vishriya at Benchmark almost didn't even take the meeting. He literally messaged his assistant during the meeting like, why did you let me take this meeting? He thought it was a waste of time because it was a hardware company.
Which, to be fair, is usually a red flag in venture. Hardware is expensive, slow, and capital intensive. Software startups can pivot overnight. Chip companies need factories and billions of dollars.
Exactly. That's why this is so interesting. Cerebras walks in, five founders in a slide deck, And by slide 3, they basically say, GPUs actually suck for deep learning. They just happen to be 100 times better than CPUs. And Vishriya said a light bulb went off.
I mean, bold claim. NVIDIA shareholders might disagree with that framing.
Wait. Hear the idea, though. GPUs were built for graphics, rendering video games. Parallel math happened to make them great for AI training. Cerebras said, what if we build a chip specifically for AI training from the ground up?
Right, the wafer scale chip. Basically, the biggest chip you can physically manufacture, like the entire silicon wafer, is one processor. It's kind of insane engineering.
And this is why I'm bullish. AI infrastructure is the new oil field. Everybody's talking about models and chatbots, but the real money might be in the picks and shovels, the compute.
The flip side is the picks and shovels market already has a king, NVIDIA, and it's not just chips. It's CUDA, the software ecosystem, the developer lock-in. That moat is enormous.
True, but Cerebras isn't trying to compete GPU for GPU. Their angle is, if you want to train massive models faster with fewer machines, you use one giant AI chip instead of a whole cluster of GPUs.
And the risk is the market may not want that architecture. Data centers are built around GPU clusters. Switching to a totally different system is not trivial.
But if it works, the efficiency gains could be massive. Imagine training a model in days instead of weeks. That's a huge competitive advantage for labs and enterprises.
Maybe. But I also think the timing here matters. Remember, Vishriya invested in 2016. That was before the Transformer paper in 2017, before ChatGPT, before the AI boom. Back then, this was basically a speculative bet.
Which is exactly why it turned into a $5 billion outcome. That's the lesson for VCs. You invest when the idea sounds slightly crazy.
Or you get lucky because an entire industry explodes unexpectedly. Let's be honest. If generative AI hadn't taken off the way it did, this IPO probably doesn't look like this.
Fair. But great investors position themselves where tailwinds might happen. And I love the detail that he went from muttering, why did I take this meeting, to leading the $25 million Series A and joining the board.
That part I actually like. It shows how quickly conviction can change when founders explain a truly differentiated idea.
Exactly. Slide 3. That's all it took.
Or it shows VCs are just as emotional as everyone else.
Hey, pattern recognition.
Sure, Jack. Pattern recognition.
But zooming out, this IPO raises a bigger question. If AI chips are the new oil rigs, how many winners can there actually be besides NVIDIA? Because Cerebras isn't the only one trying this. And that's where the next debate gets really interesting. Okay, this one is fascinating. Beijing-based Moonshot AI just dropped something called Kimi WebBridge. And basically, this could be huge. It lets an AI agent literally drive your browser. Click buttons, scroll pages, fill forms, search Amazon, the whole thing.
Hold on, though. We've heard versions of this before. Browser automation has existed forever. Selenium, Puppeteer, all that stuff. What's actually new here?
The big difference is where it runs. Most AI browser agents pipe everything through the cloud. Your login sessions, page content, whatever you're browsing, it all goes to somebody else's servers. Kimi WebBridge runs locally on your machine using Chrome DevTools protocol.
Which, for people listening, is basically the debugging interface developers use to control Chrome. It's like the steering wheel behind the dashboard.
Exactly. The AI talks to that interface locally. So if you're logged into Gmail, Slack, your bank account, whatever, the AI can interact with those pages, but the data never leaves your computer.
Okay, that part I actually like. Because the big fear with AI agents is you're basically handing the keys to your digital life to some cloud model. If it runs locally, at least there's a privacy story.
Not just privacy. Think about capability. They give an example. You tell the agent, browse Amazon for a mechanical keyboard under $150 with at least 4.5 stars and give me a ranked comparison. Instead of using an API, it literally navigates Amazon like a human would.
Which sounds cool until Amazon bans you for botting.
Wait. This is different. Traditional bots scrape. This is an AI visually interpreting the page and clicking around. It's more like a human using the browser.
Platforms are not going to care about that distinction. If thousands of AI agents start browsing sites automatically, those sites will absolutely clamp down. rate limits, CAPTCHAs, bot detection, you name it.
Sure, but that's the same story we've had with automation for 20 years. What changes here is the intelligence layer. The agent can adapt. If the button moves, it still finds it.
You're assuming it works reliably. Anyone who's tried an AI agent in a browser knows it breaks constantly. Layout changes, pop-ups, cookie banners.
Fair. But here's the thing that caught my eye. The model behind this, KimiK 2.6, just hit 58.6% on SUI Bench Pro.
Yeah, and for context, that's a benchmark where models try to fix real GitHub issues in real code bases.
And apparently, it's ahead of GPT 5.4 and Claude Opus 4.6 on that test.
Benchmarks are not the real world, though.
Sure, but CBench Pro is one of the closest we have to, can this thing actually do real work? If it can reason through code bases, driving a browser UI is easier.
I'm not so sure. UI environments are chaotic. Code is structured. Websites are messy.
But that's the whole opportunity. Think about the long tail of the internet that has no API. Government sites, airline portals, internal company dashboards.
You're basically describing the dream of the universal AI employee.
Exactly. If the AI can operate software the same way a human does, mouse clicks and keyboards, you don't need integrations anymore.
The flip side is security. You're giving an AI agent access to everything you're logged into: email, bank accounts, company tools.
But it's local.
Local doesn't mean safe. Malware is local too.
Okay, but compare that to today's agents sending your entire browsing session to a cloud server.
True. It's arguably less risky than the cloud agent model.
I'm bullish on this architecture. Local agent plus browser control feels like the missing piece for real AI assistance.
I'll push back a little. The tech might work, but the ecosystem might fight it. Websites don't want autonomous agents crawling their interfaces nonstop.
Unless they start designing for agents.
Maybe. But right now, most sites barely design well for humans.
Fair point.
The other angle here, this coming from a Beijing-based company, is interesting geopolitically. If their model really is topping SUI Bench Pro, that's another signal the frontier AI race is tightening.
Yeah, that's the bigger meta story. Everyone assumed the big US labs would dominate these capability benchmarks.
And suddenly, you have moonshot dropping tools that let agents literally operate your browser.
Which raises a bigger question.
Are we heading toward a world where your AI is the one actually using the internet?
Exactly. Humans might become the ones giving instructions while agents do the clicking.
And if that's the case, the browser itself might be the next major AI battleground.
Okay, this one is catnip for me. So apparently, researchers just demonstrated the first public macOS kernel memory corruption exploit on Apple's brand new M5 silicon. And this is notable because Apple spent, 5 years building this big hardware defense system called Memory Integrity Enforcement, MIE, based on ARM's memory tagging tech. This was supposed to make this whole class of attacks dramatically harder.
Hold on, though. Harder is the key word there. Not impossible. And that's kind of the story of cybersecurity. Apple built this very fancy hardware safety system, probably spent billions. And within, months? Someone finds a way around it.
But that's actually why I'm bullish on this. Seriously. The fact that researchers have to jump through absurd hoops to get an exploit working is proof the defenses are working. Think of it like adding locks to a house. If someone finally breaks in after 6 hours of lock picking, that's still a win compared to the door being wide open.
Maybe. But remember what the exploit is targeting: kernel memory corruption. The kernel is basically the operating system's brain. If you compromise that, you own the whole machine. So even one working exploit matters.
Totally. But let's unpack the tech for people listening. Memory corruption is basically when software accidentally lets you overwrite parts of memory you shouldn't touch. Attackers exploit that to run their own code. Historically, that's been the number one way devices get hacked.
Right. And Apple's response was MIE, Memory Integrity Enforcement, which uses memory tagging. The idea is each chunk of memory gets a little label attached to it, and the CPU checks that label before letting software touch it. If the tags don't match, the hardware blocks the operation.
Exactly. Think of it like luggage tags at an airport. If your bag has the wrong tag, it doesn't get on the plane. Apple pushed that logic down into hardware in the M5 and A19 chips.
And according to Apple's own research, This system supposedly disrupted every public exploit chain against modern iOS devices. That's a pretty bold claim.
Which is why I love that these researchers walked into Apple Park with a laser-printed report like, "Hey guys, about that."
The detail that kills me is Apple apparently telling them, "We spent $5 billion building this office," and the researchers responding, "Yeah, ours definitely cost less than a billion."
That's hacker humor right there.
But the bigger point is, if independent researchers can break the flagship mitigation this quickly, it raises questions about whether hardware security promises are oversold.
Wait. I think you're framing that too negatively. Security is an arms race. The goal isn't perfection. It's raising the cost of attacks. If an exploit now requires multiple vulnerabilities and deep hardware knowledge, most attackers simply won't bother.
The flip side is the attackers who do bother are the ones you actually care about. Nation states, high-end spyware vendors, those groups absolutely will invest the effort.
True, but Apple controlling the full stack, hardware, OS, tooling, that's a massive advantage. They can patch this pathway once they understand it. And these researchers said they're holding the technical details until Apple fixes it.
Assuming the fix is straightforward. Hardware mitigations are great until you discover the bypass is architectural. Then you're stuck waiting for the next chip generation.
Fair point. But even then, the transparency here is healthy. Researchers reporting directly, Apple getting advance notice. This is how the ecosystem improves.
I agree with that part. Responsible disclosure beats dropping the exploit on Twitter for clout.
Although they did say they budgeted 1 year of domain registration for the attack site, which is the most hacker thing I've heard all week.
Yeah, that's basically a countdown clock for Apple's security team.
So here's my big takeaway. If the hardest to hack consumer platform in the world is still getting probed and improved like this, that's actually a good sign for the security ecosystem.
I'll meet you halfway. It's good that the research exists, but it also shows that hardware-enforced security doesn't magically end software bugs.
Fair enough. Defense gets stronger. Attackers get smarter.
And that cycle isn't stopping anytime soon.
Which actually leads into another story about the cat and mouse dynamic in tech right now, because regulators are starting to get involved in ways that might change the whole game. So this Cerebras IPO, this is wild. Shares jumped 68% on day one after raising about $5.5 billion, biggest IPO of the year. It priced at $185 and closed around $311. This could be huge. It tells you investors are absolutely starving for AI infrastructure plays.
Hold on, though. A 68% pop on day one is also a signal the IPO was underpriced or the market's getting frothy again. We've seen this movie before. Investors chasing the AI narrative without really understanding the business fundamentals.
Maybe. But Cerebras isn't just another AI company. Their whole thing is building massive chips specifically for training large AI models. Instead of thousands of small GPUs networked together, they build these giant wafer-scale chips. One chip, the size of a dinner plate.
Right, the wafer-scale engine. But the flip side is that approach is very niche. NVIDIA dominates with GPUs that work everywhere. Gaming, data centers, AI. Cerebras is basically betting everything on massive AI training workloads. If that niche shifts, they're exposed.
But that niche is exploding. Look at what's happening with AI data centers. Every hyperscaler, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, is pouring tens of billions into compute. If Cerebras can say, "Hey, train your model 10x faster on our hardware," that's a compelling pitch.
I'm not so sure it's that simple. NVIDIA isn't just selling chips. They control the software stack, CUDA, libraries, the whole ecosystem. Developers are locked in. Cerebras might have faster hardware in some cases, but if engineers have to rewrite everything to use it, adoption slows way down.
Wait. This is exactly the disruption pattern, though. Remember when GPUs first started beating CPUs for machine learning? At first, it was annoying to port code. Then suddenly, everyone did it because the performance gains were too big.
Sure, but NVIDIA was already a massive company with supply chains, developer communities, and tons of capital. Cerebras is basically a specialized startup competing against the most valuable semiconductor company on Earth.
And yet the market just handed them a $5.5 billion IPO and bid the stock up nearly 70%. Investors clearly believe there's room for an NVIDIA alternative.
Or they believe anything with AI chips in the pitch deck right now. Let's be honest.
Fair. But the demand side is real. Training frontier models requires absurd amounts of compute. We're talking thousands, sometimes tens of thousands, of GPUs working together. Cerebras' whole pitch is, what if you didn't need that cluster? What if one giant chip could do it?
Which sounds great until something fails. Giant chips are harder to manufacture and repair. If one piece breaks, you could lose the whole unit. NVIDIA spreads workloads across lots of smaller chips for redundancy.
They've actually solved a lot of that with on-chip redundancy. Parts of the wafer can fail, and the chip still works. It's kind of like having spare lanes on a highway.
Okay, but even if the tech works, here's the business question. Who buys these things? Hyperscalers already committed tens of billions to NVIDIA hardware. Switching costs are huge.
AI startups, governments, research labs, national AI projects. Think about countries trying to build sovereign AI infrastructure. A turnkey supercomputer built around Cerebras chips might be attractive.
That's interesting, but it also makes revenue lumpy. A few giant deals instead of steady sales like NVIDIA gets from cloud providers.
True. But if the AI compute race keeps accelerating, those giant deals get bigger. And investors clearly see that. This IPO raised almost 60% more than its target after they revised the price range higher.
I'll concede one thing. The appetite for AI infrastructure is not slowing down. If anything, this IPO proves the capital markets are wide open for companies selling the picks and shovels of AI.
Exactly. This is the gold rush moment. Everyone wants the tools that power the models.
But the big question is whether Cerebras becomes a real competitor to NVIDIA or just a fascinating niche player that had a very hot IPO.
I'm bullish they carve out a real lane.
I'm putting them in the prove it over the next 3 years category.
Okay, that's fair. But speaking of companies riding the AI wave, there's another story that shows just how intense the infrastructure arms race is getting. All right, let's land the plane. Big episode today. AI models getting cheaper and more capable. The chip race heating up again, and governments circling the whole thing with regulation. I mean, to me, the through line is simple. Innovation is outrunning everything. This could be huge for productivity.
Hold on, though. Innovation outrunning everything is exactly the problem. We talked about open source models spreading fast, companies racing to deploy, and regulators still figuring out what AI even means. The flip side is that speed without guardrails can create some real messes.
Sure, but that's always how tech works. The internet looked chaotic too. Then we built businesses, entire economies on top of it. I'm bullish on the same pattern happening with AI.
Maybe. But remember when you predicted last year that enterprise adoption would explode overnight? Companies are still experimenting. It's moving, just not at Silicon Valley hype speed.
Wait. That prediction is aging pretty well. Look at the number of internal copilots companies are rolling out now.
Fair. Adoption is climbing. I'll give you that. But it's uneven, and a lot of those pilots haven't turned into real ROI yet.
Okay, let's do bold predictions before we wrap. Mine, within 3 years, every major knowledge worker tool, email, spreadsheets, coding, design, will have a deeply integrated AI agent doing half the work. Not autocomplete. Actual delegated tasks. This is going to feel like hiring millions of digital interns.
I'm not so sure. My prediction is the opposite direction. Within 2 years, we'll see a major regulatory crackdown after some high-profile AI failure. Maybe misinformation, maybe an autonomous system gone wrong, and that slows deployment across multiple industries.
I think regulation will happen, but it won't stop the momentum.
And I think the momentum hits at least one serious wall.
So, we agree to disagree.
For now.
All right, folks, that's our show. Thanks for hanging out with us on AI Unchained. The space is moving fast, the stakes are big, and honestly, it's one of the most exciting tech cycles we've seen in decades.
And also one of the most uncertain. Keep your eyes open for the risks as well as the breakthroughs.
Next time, we'll be watching the next wave of model releases, what's happening in the chip supply chain, and whether startups are actually turning AI hype into real revenue.
And whether Jack's army of digital interns shows up anytime soon.
Hey, I'm still bullish.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on AI Unchained.